Good evening and welcome to this meeting of the Decision Review Panel of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel. On behalf of the Decision Review Panel, I would like to acknowledge the original custodians of the land we are on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to their elders both past and present. The Decision Review Panel also acknowledges the present Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who reside within this area. The meeting today is to consider the request for a review of the determination of the development application at 27 Church Street, Camperdown, which was refused by the Local Planning Panel on 28 March 2018. The panel members for this matter are myself, Stephen Lehman, as the Independent Chair, Sean Carter as the Independent Expert Member, and Community Representative Amelia Thorpe. I welcome everybody to this meeting. Please be assured that the panel will be making its decisions tonight on the planning merits of each application and following consideration of the views expressed in submissions and by people addressing the panel tonight. Determinations and any relevant decision of the panel shall be by a majority of votes of members present at the meeting and entitled to vote. If the votes are tied, the chair will have the casting vote. As an important transparency measure, the reasons for our decisions will be recorded in the minutes as part of the decision. Where the panel goes against or amends the officer's recommendation, the panel will state the reasons. The manager planning assessments will provide an overview of the development application with key issues raised and the recommendation of council staff. We will then hear from members of the public who have registered to speak, followed by the applicant and or the applicant's representative who may like to address issues raised by members of the public. I note that we this evening have two speakers, one speaker I should say, on behalf of the architect. Please note that there is a 3-minute time limit for each speaker with a warning bell at 2 minutes. I ask that each speaker be heard in silence while they are addressing the panel and that courtesy and respect be observed throughout the meeting. Please ensure that there is no personal criticism directed at any speaker or council staff. Any such criticism would be contrary to the panel's code of conduct and will not be accepted by the panel. The panel may ask questions of the speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. If you have registered to speak, your address to the panel will be recorded. All the public meetings of the panel are recorded, and the recordings are available on the City's website. Please note that there is to be no recording or filming of this meeting other than this. After hearing from the speakers, the panel will consider and make its decision on each application. This may involve adjourning the meeting to confer amongst ourselves before reconvening the meeting to make our decision, or we might make our decision without the need to adjourn. If the panel considers more information is required before making its decision, the panel may defer its decision for consideration at a later date. We have two items on tonight's agenda. The first is disclosures of interest. The panel notes the tabled pecuniary interest returns of various local planning members, table those. No members disclosed any pecuniary or non-pecuniary interest in any matter on the agenda for this meeting of the Decision Review Panel of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel. In accordance with Section 4.9 of the Code of Conduct for Local Planning Panels, all panel members have signed a declaration of interest form in relation to each matter on the agenda. In this case, item two, which is the development application for 27 Church Street, Camperdown. I have the first speaker, Albert Pichero, Architects Pichero, I have to pronounce your name correctly. Oh, beg your pardon. First, we should have the presentation from the manager of planning. Apologies.
Sure. Well, This application is a review of a determination made by the local planning panel in March of this year. That application was refused. The review application scheme has been amended, so there are differences between what was refused and what is now proposed. The application essentially seeks consent for the demolition of a large portion of the existing building, the retention of some of the boundary walls, the construction of a three-storey residential flat building containing five apartments. The site is located in a B4 mixed-use zone, is permissible with consent, and the review application is recommended for refusal. The application was notified in July and August of this year. 169 Alberston occupiers were notified and 6 submissions were received. The submissions related to a number of issues, including overshadowing impacts, loss of privacy, the aesthetics of the development, the height of the development, construction impacts, and compliance with Set 55 remediation plans. So this is the site outlined in red, and the blue premises indicate the site from which submissions were received. So it's a premises immediately joining the site on all sites. This is the site location. It's located on the west side of Church Street, and this is the existing industrial building on the site. This is a view of the site looking down Church Street, and you can see the building immediately to the south is a residential building, and that's arranged in the form of terrace-type houses over the top of a ground-level car park with the orientation to the north across the site. This is a view of the site from the first floor of that adjoining building to the south. So the existing building on the site is built immediately adjacent to the boundary, and you can see that boundary wall on the right-hand side of the image. And the landscaping you see is at the first floor level of that building where the living areas are, the private open spaces, and above that you have bedrooms. This is a view of the site and 29 Church Street, the building to the south, from the residence to the west on Mallet Street. And these are the existing heritage listed cottages immediately across Church Street. So just by way of background, the original application was refused in March of this year. The review application was submitted on the 26th of June, and the review proposal includes amendments to the original scheme. So the next set of plans show the floor plans and elevations one by one of the original scheme and the amended scheme. So this was the ground floor plan of the refused development. The original development was two built forms, one to Church Street, which was essentially a three-storey presentation to the street with a fourth level setback, and then a two-storey building to the rear, separated by a small, quite well, or courtyard with an access in between. The building to the rear was set back from the rear boundary 3 metres. This is the proposed ground floor plan, so the space between the two buildings has been changed and increased in size, and that's been accommodated by moving the building to the rear boundary. This is a refused level one plan and the proposed first floor plan. And just on the left-hand side of that diagram, the shaded area is the area of the existing building which is set off that rear boundary, which is just short of 3 metres. So the original proposal was to demolish that boundary wall, set the whole building 3 metres off that boundary. The revised proposal is to essentially fill in that gap and build a new building to that rear boundary. This is a refused level 2 floor plan and the amended level 2 floor plan, and the refused level 3 top floor, of which has been deleted and replaced by a new rooftop terrace. This is a refused east elevation to Church Street, so it presented as a three-storey building with a fourth level setback, and the revised east elevation to Church Street, which is a two-storey building with a third level setback. This is a refused west elevation, so that was the existing building on the boundary to be demolished, the whole building setback 3 metres, and the amended proposal is to retain the existing wall on the boundary and fill the gap of that part of the building that is currently set back. This is reduced south elevation, so that was keeping the majority of that boundary wall, although in the midsection an element was to be cut out, and then the front building of the super shack above that, and the amended proposal maintains the existing boundary wall, so there's no cut out in that midsection. The front building does project above the boundary wall, but to a lesser extent than the original proposal. These two diagrams show the original refused built form compared to the proposed amended built form. This slide just shows some of the architectural detail in the materials proposed. In terms of compliance with the control, the building complies with the maximum 12-metre height limit. It's just on the 12 metres, and it complies with the maximum 1.5-to-1 floor space ratio. But in terms of solar access, 70% is required. 60% is proposed, 60% is 3.5 apartments. If you round it down and comply, round it up, there's sort of one apartment on compliance. It complies with cross ventilation, it complies with deep soil planting area. In terms of building separation, there's non-compliances, although that internal space has been enlarged, it still doesn't comply. And the apartment sizes do comply. One of the apartments in the original scheme didn't. In terms of the water floor height, there is a non-compliance. Instead of having 3.1 floor to floor, it has 3 metres. If it was to have 3.1 floor to floor, that would push the building marginally above the 12-metre height limit. In terms of communal open space, 25%, it doesn't comply with 16.7% site area. In terms of private open space, the apartments that do have private open space comply with the requirements, but one of the apartments, unit number 4, doesn't have any private open space. The application was considered by the Design Advisory Panel in August this year, and they raised concerns with regard to that central space and the lack of separation between units, poor courtyard amenity in the location of the garbage room, potential noise impacts on the communal roof towers, and a recommendation that the department should have fewer apartments, perhaps one apartment per floor. In terms of the review application, one of the requirements of the legislation is that the amended plans or the amended scheme is considered to be substantially the same as the original scheme. So the legislation does allow for amendments to be made, but the development needs to be considered to be substantially the same. We're of the opinion it isn't substantially the same. There are a number of changes that have been made, some of which are positive, some of which haven't necessarily addressed issues. But I suppose the test is a matter of fact and degree, and in terms of the differences, there's a different built form, altering the building footprint and extending to the rear boundary, the original building was set back. The building presents as a two-storey building with a third level set back to Church Street, whereas the original was a three-storey building with a fourth level setback. There are different apartment configurations. There's different configuration space between buildings, and the amended scheme also introduces a new rooftop terrace on that front building to Church Street. So the issues essentially are building separation issues, communal and private open space, potential impacts on adjoining properties, solar access impacts to the building to the south, the building height or the floor-to-floor non-compliance, waste collection and site contamination. In terms of building setbacks, the separation, the ADG requires 12 metre separation. The building has 7.62 metres. That proposed between the front and rear buildings, 3.5 metres to the buildings to the west. Communal space results in potential privacy impacts to the building, to the residential buildings to the south. The private open space to unit 5, that's a new open space on top of the front building, also results in potential overlooking impacts, and unit 4 doesn't have any private open space. In terms of solar access, the three apartments of 60% sort of the requirements to use the mid-winter solar access to living rooms for private open space, one apartment 20% receives no solar access. Unit 3, the building to the south of 29-31 Church Street, is still overshadowed to a level below the minimum 2 hours sun access. In terms of building height, complies with the 12-metre height control, but not the floor-to-floor height. If it was to comply with that, it would be slightly over the height limit. And in terms of waste collection, the garbage bins are considered to be poorly located and are more than 10 metres from the collection point. In terms of site contamination, Contamination information has been provided with the application, but that dates back to 2013, a previous application for the site. So there is some missing information in relation to what's happened between then and now. There is a need for updated information in relation to that issue and an updated letter of advice from the site auditor if the application was to progress in relation to contamination. So the application is recommended for refusal. Thank you.
Eric. I think we now move on to hearing from speakers. I have two speakers on my list. First is Albert Pichera, architect for the applicant. Deborah McKenzie.
Good evening. Is that working? All good? Okay. My name is Deborah McKenzie. I work with Andrew Martin Planning. Andrew's an apology for not being able to make it here tonight. But we'd like to thank, firstly, the panel for convening. We know that this is an extraordinary panel that was called in order to hear this application specifically within the time frame. So we do appreciate everybody's effort and time and energy in actually making it here to comply with that time frame. So that's the first thing. We thank Council for the report, and we of course do not agree with the recommendation that they have set down. The first thing that's raised is the issue of it being substantially the same. In order for the applicant to actually reconsider and to address the reasons for the original refusal, and by the very nature of what an amended application is, you have to be able to make amendments and to make changes to that application. And the court's been very open with that, and they have on a number of occasions when considering the old Section 96. So there's a number of cases around that allow changes to an application in order for that to be reasonably reconsidered. There's been whole floors taken off, there's been basements added to residential buildings, there's probably half a dozen odd court cases which are often recited as ways that quite substantial changes can actually be made to development, but still called under the court to be substantially the same. So we've looked at and considered what we needed to actually present back to the council and the way to address all the reasons that were actually provided previously. So yes, they have removed the fourth story. That was a major issue. They have changed the number of units from 5 to 4. They have widened the internal separation between the units as required. They have had to make changes in order to be able to accommodate that. There also seems to be a significant focus on the provisions and the actual application of the ADG. And we'd just like to point out that the ADG is a guideline. It is not a development standard. And the panel, the Planning Department's own guidelines back in June 2017 actually state that quite clearly, is that the ADG is a guideline. So we're actually looking at an infill development in an area of a very mixed range of uses with a mixed range of residential character, and we just feel that the ADG and its strict application in this case, which is not even the same as its council's own DCP provisions, for instance, the DCP actually does allow for up to 25% of units not to provide their own private open space. That's not mentioned, it's not raised, it's just a very heavy reliance on the application to a very strict, down to sort of a half hour overshadowing.
Can I ask you to wind it up, please?
So I guess what we'd just like to say is that there is only four units being proposed here. So the application of percentages and percentage of compliance and non-compliance under the ADG is not really relevant. It's not a reasonable way of looking at such a small number of units, because as soon as you lose compliance, you lose 10-20%. So the difference between what can apply to one unit or another unit in this particular case needs to be considered on a more flexible merit-based assessment. I'll leave it at that. Any?
Yes, I have a question. What's your response to the contamination issue? Is you able to respond to that?
Yeah, we're working. And the report that was done 2013 did not be updated, and that was one of the conditions that we accept that should be done, should be approved, that we would have to do a reassessment of that. There has been a remediation action plan done 2013, but not updated to date. The other thing is, due to the flood issues on the site, the levels, the natural levels of the site now would have to be raised, so in a lot of the instances we'll be capping the existing surface, will not be removing soil from the site. And that was one of the issues raised in the 2013 report and the RAP, the Remediation Action Plan, that was submitted.
I think the underlying question is whether an environmental management plan could be put in place that would be capable of monitoring the ongoing condition of the site in terms of contamination, whether that's possible in a reasonable time frame.
Well, I'm not going to answer for the engineers, but we were advised that they could make the report and adapt the RAP, the remediation action, and the environmental plan to suit the development to be approved. Two things you're talking about, monitoring, that's also been identified in the 2013 report that it's a must, according to the EPA Act, that has to be done site monitoring both on the soil and air quality.
Thank you.
Oh, look, I'll start with a general statement, and look, housing is one of our most important elements of infrastructure that we can do in society. It's important that we design it for future families and future generations with great care. It's a significant thing. We'll be leaving these buildings in perpetuity to others to live in that building. And notwithstanding whether it is substantially the same or not, I actually think it's not substantially the same. And whether you've proved up the Set 55 issues, I do think DA has gone through a thorough design review and assessment process, which still highlights significant non-compliances, and it doesn't achieve design excellence. And that's my great concern with this application.
Anything further? I'll move that the conclusion and recommendation in the report be adopted by the panel. That's carried unanimously. The decision of the panel and our reasons will be published on Council's webpage in due course. In the next day or two. So thank you for your attendance this evening, and I declare the meeting closed.